WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Boston, Massachusetts.
That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff. So I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie, here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
I can feel you flowing through me, Holy Spirit. This show, Faith Talks Live Prayer on WSCIRO, to your wonderful work. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch your people now. We thank you. Wow, hello everyone, and I just want to say God bless you and happy 4th of July week. All right, we had 4th of July in the middle of the week, and it's expanded. It seems like God wants to emphasize something, especially in the summer months, the winds of change. We did the winds of change part one in our previous Faith Talks Live Prayer, and I tell you, we've had over 1,500 hits because people are hungry. They want to know what Doug Addison, what the Lord is speaking to Doug Addison, and others that, you know, that don't have you know, as much of a name out there. And I'm telling you, God is no respecter of persons, all right? So coming on with me a little bit later is my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. And of course, did I even introduce myself? I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff, co-host of WSCIRO, See Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, Faith Talks Live Prayer. Okay, I got that off my chest. Well, anyways, we are, you know, we've just been through so much. We're in the middle of a move, and I dusted off some CDs, and I came across Bob Marley, a couple of tunes, Exodus and Redemption Song. And the beautiful thing about Bob Marley's life and his songs is that they are definitely from heaven. And I found out from Christian Radio, from AM Christian Radio last week on the morning show, that someone came on and they like to study the lives of people that kind of like, you know, walking the line with secular music and music from that was inspired from the Holy Spirit. But many people were wondering, are they Christian? Are they not? Well, I found out by these people that have done some research on the life of Bob Marley that the bishop of the Coptic Church, towards the latter days of his life, because he had died of cancer, had come to him and had schooled him in the Christian faith. And because of that example, Bob Marley gave his life to the Lord, and he got baptized. So, you know, God writes straight with crooked lines, like we've been saying all along. And who are we to judge, okay, what we see in the present moment with our eyes? I mean, we need to discern, but we also need to be a praying people, because we never know the outcome of a person's life. Only God does. And if we even question, you know, well, especially people that are wet behind the ears and a gift of prophecy, some in the church, some outside the church, God, like I said, writes straight with crooked lines, and he scatters us like seeds, you know, throughout the land, and then he waters us with a degree of his spirit, okay? And some may come from a relative, some may come directly because the person is so on fire and has embraced the Lord in the present moment. So without further ado, we're just going to go into Bob Marley's song, Exodus, Redemption Song. I tried to put One Love in the playlist, but we didn't have enough time. But we'll, maybe at another show we will include One Love. But I really believe that the Lord wants to minister to a few of you and actually confirm what he's doing in this time, in this window of change. Okay, of expectation of what the Lord is going to do. And then we will come on with Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and he's going to share with you his thoughts on Winds of Change Part 2 as it relates to transformation and also God's love and some, you know, some concerns that is on the Lord's heart of how we need to prepare to embrace the winds of change that are from him. And how to be more effective in that. Okay, God bless you, and see you in a bit. All right, enjoy.
Man, come, shall people. the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley back again. It's great to be here. I hope you enjoyed the legacy of Bob Marley, now with the Lord. Okay, what we are going to do before we go into the interview with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Gannett, on Winds of Change Part 2, the topic for Faith Talks Live Fair for this edition, special Independence Day edition or Independence Week edition of Faith Talks Live Prayer. I wanted to set the tone a bit and look at the scriptures in Mark pertaining to Jesus calming the storms and Jesus walking on the water, because there is embedded within these scriptures a mystery of faith that we need to take part in, that that we need to understand more, that we need to delve into in a greater way and make it our own, because if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of storms that come and go and left havoc, and there's a lot of storms brewing on the horizon, and it may look differently and be experienced differently by individuals and people groups and different faith groups, okay, within the body of Christ. And that's how unique these storms are. Some of them may happen all at once, some of them may happen in dribs and drabs, and one part of the body may be praying for the other part of the body, or for a group of individuals, or for one individual. But needless to say, putting our trust in Him, in Jesus, in what He can do in these storms, is the better way, is the better approach, is the remedy to this situation. Okay? He brings the victory. He's the only one that can bring the victory. And so it is fitting to read Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. All right? It was so funny. Before I got the impetus or the inspiration to read these scriptures, the Lord had been already ministering to me in those areas this past week regarding my personal life. And then this morning when we were getting ready for our pre-broadcast, because this is pre-broadcast, not live. We do it much better when it's pre-broadcast, and we put a lot of prayer into it. And we just wait on the Lord, and we can't do these broadcasts without that. So anyways, we were looking on the internet for different things to talk about, ministries that needed encouragement and edification and exhortation. And we came across the ministry of Mark Millett. And for all of you who do not know who he is a Catholic lay evangelist coming out of Canada. And the reason why we're speaking about him is because we do open up with 30 seconds of Making My Way, which is something that he had been inspired to write. He's a musician. He's not only a musician, but a prophetic musician. And he goes throughout all the churches, just ministering the love of the Lord through his songs. And this 30-second opening that we use for our show is in public domain, so that was one of the reasons why we thought it really says it all, regarding what the Lord called us to do in ministry, in Faith Talks Live Prayer. So that's just a little side description, a little explanation of who this person Mark is. So Mark had been going through, he owns a farm, him and his wife, and they use their talents of music and also art to bring in the what they need to maintain their farm. And apparently, because of the bad weather patterns and a lot of things that are happening now to land, depending on regarding the destructive winds of change, he lost a lot of crop and everything. And so he recently posted his experience and his lament on his blog. And as I was reading it, he quotes from Mark 4 and Mark 6 regarding Jesus calming the storm and Jesus walking on the water. And as he was reading this and praying his rosary, and he prays the scriptures on his rosary, and a tremendous amount of peace came in. He was on his way to a conference to minister in song. And so, I'm saying to myself, wow, this must be the theme that the Lord, wants to release to His people in the body of Christ. And He'll allow circumstances and situations to develop so we can cry out to Him, and He could bring us the remedy through Scripture, through a direct word of inspiration from heaven as well. So you're not alone, okay? This is the thing that makes a difference. This is a unity that the Lord is working in His body of Christ through these tragedies, through these losses, through these conflicts, in which we all cry out, and He seems to minister at the same time to various people groups that are in different places. And I love that about the Lord. Okay, let's read, all right, from Mark 4, verse 35 to 51. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him, Jesus, along as he was in the boat,
There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up with all that wind that I threw that in, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped and it nearly capsized. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still," or in some other translations, "Peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And then I'm going to go to Mark 6. Let's see. And that would be verse 45. Did I say voice? Verse. verse 35. Let's see. Jesus walks on the water. Mm-hmm. He not only commanded the winds to be still, especially the real destructive wind. I mean, there's the winds that he brings, but then there's a real destructive force that is not of the Lord. All right. It tries to compete against his wind, you know. Jesus walked on the water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them to see what was going on, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was and wherever he went, into the villages, towns, or countryside. They placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched were healed. And you know, Jesus is on his way to that healing service, and he thought the disciples would, they would probably make it the same time, and maybe he would arrive there first, and the disciples would arrive quickly after him, but then he realized they were straining. Now, I don't understand why Jesus did it that way, but, you know, probably to increase their faith, because he knew, definitely, because it was Jesus, he knew the miracles that the people on land were going to need, and he knew that working these miracles without faith and in the spirit of unbelief was not going to happen. So he needed his disciples, and he needed to increase their faith a little bit before they got to their destination. So I'm just going to leave that with you. My husband's going to come in a bit. Are you ready, honey? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's going to just talk to you more about the winds of change. And then I'm going to come back on, and I'm going to share with you about some dreams and visions that the Lord gave me, and to prepare our hearts, all right, to accept the winds of change and what it's doing, because we have to come into agreement with it, right? Especially when it has to do with the kingdom of God operating in our lives. And we have to claim our part of it, but we also have to deal with the Lord, those areas of our life that would prevent these winds from accomplishing the purposes that he intends to accomplish within our hearts. Because it's all about cooperation of our free will and submission of our free will to his will in our lives. Okay, Jeff.
Thank you, Shirley.
You're welcome.
Good to be here.
Nice to be here.
The Lord has, in the last couple of weeks, been putting in my heart. I've been asking him about why the body of Christ in certain circumstances and situations seems so venomous against itself. And I kind of had left that to rest. And the Lord was guiding my thoughts and spoke a sentence into my heart and mind. And it says, when you despise any one part of the body of Jesus, you despise the head who is Jesus. Now, I kept meditating on that and it kept expanding. And when you despise any one part of the body of Jesus, you despise Jesus. There's no way around it. It's either yes or no, hot or cold. You either love his body because it's his, not yours, or you hate it. There's only two choices. To be lukewarm is to become be vomit in the mouth of God when he looks at you. And a complete change of orientation is necessary. I'm not talking to the unconverted. I'm talking to those who need to grow more in their conversion.
So Jeff, the question that I have, and I know others have, regarding the winds of change and how this relates to that, is that are you saying that in order for the body of Christ to be more, to become most effective as individuals in as a collective body, coming from different denominations, that this subtle hatred that we've heard other leaders even voice. I mean, my friend. Who was a prayer warrior for years, an intercessor friend of mine, intercessor of Israel, had, called me one time and said, Shirley, you've got to put on Jimmy Swaggart. He's not the same person as he used to be. And, he's really got, God's really using him. And I said, I'm not sure because I know that he has this thing against Catholics. He doesn't think people, he doesn't think the Catholics are real Christians things like that. And so she said, oh, well, that's just because of some of the doctrines and beliefs and everything. And he's not like that anymore. And it fell in my heart. I'm like, I wanted to believe what she was saying because I believe strongly in over time how the Lord can, through His Holy Spirit, change men's hearts or women's hearts or, through transformation. But, so anyway, they put this on, it was Sky Angel Web TV, and I have a subscription to that. And I was listening, I was waiting for the punchline, that hatred, that Catholic fashion punchline. And I felt really, I'm saying to myself, I should really be listening for encouraging words, but it's just the history. And all of a sudden, his wife and him, somebody commented, it came, it was a caller that called in about the Catholic Church. He goes, well, no, they're not really Christian. They are not our brothers and sisters. And they said it with hatred. And you know what? They couldn't even look at the camera when they were saying that. Okay? And I could feel that maybe the other people of his team may have had different experiences and they were like squinching a bit. But I just I had to call my friend back and say, he's saying the same kind of rhetoric again. And then I, had also, there was somebody on Facebook who was my friend for 3 years from the UK, a female friend, and she started bashing the Pope and everything, and there was so much hatred and venom and, calling the church the whore of Babylon and all this other stuff. I'm like, where are these people getting it from? I said, I know they're getting it from the pits of hell because, that is so contrary against one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love and compassion.
And then they feel justified. You hear this line of thought, loving what the Lord loves and hating the things that the Lord hates. Now, I really believe God is the God of love, and the hate thing is, I don't think it's in God's nature to hate. And he doesn't want us to hate. He wants us to love. Even if he hates certain things, he has to respond in love and act in love.
Don't you think that that's just a symbol of how we have to despise our sins in order to get free of them?
Exactly. But Jesus, why he sent us Jesus to redeem that. That's who was his love to mankind.
And like you were saying,
people forget that.
There's no sin, no darkness in God. Therefore, God cannot hate.
Mm-hmm.
But he can, he points to us out by his own conduct or the way his conduct was recorded in Scripture that we have to despise not the people, but our own tendency to sin and corruption, and we have to know what those weaknesses are in order to act like a warrior.
But see, in love, in his
knowledge,
love,
in and through divine love of God poured out to us.
But in his love, the Holy Spirit shows us, because it's Jesus' Spirit sent to the church to bring us into that truth of who we are and who we are not and who we need to become as we become more like him.
And the Scripture says that while we were still sinners, what great love the Father has shown us, for while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the plan from the beginning. The Holy Trinity knew that one of them was going to have to take on human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed this to the angels, and the angels despised it, and a third of the angels fell away from their communion with God and became permanently corrupt.
Because they despised the total plan of salvation that was revealed to all of heaven's creation, before the foundation of the earth was laid. And, you have to ask yourself, what were those one-third of the angels rebelling against? They were rebelling, like Jeff said, they were rebelling against the fullness of redemption that the Lord showed them, like a movie up in heaven.
And that God was going to take on the nature of his creatures in order to do it.
Yeah, and the thing is, they must have been jealous, because at one point man was going to rise above
the angels.
And you have to ask yourselves, when you hear other believers who claim to be believers that are walking in love, why are they taking that position? Don't they know that the end result will be a falling away of their own life and other people's as well? So, I ran this by a certain leader who I respect, and I sent an email, and I also sent a transcript of the dialogue I had on Facebook. And this person was saying, it's very sad. And this is a leader who teaches, us about character, growing in godly character. And he said that's not what he's called to address. And I thought, this is a biggie. If anything is to be addressed, it's this kind of disunity and what's behind it, the hatred that's behind it. It needs to be dealt with in the body of Christ, because in order for us to get to that place that the Lord wants us to be, for the kingdom of God to come in power and glory, all right, as a remedy to this destruction, we need to deal with this, or else it's going to be a lot more destruction, because it's only dependent upon the level of destruction that you see around you, and the storms, the intensity of the storms, is dependent upon the lack of repentance. And the people of God especially, because to whom much is given, much is to be expected. So I didn't further go into that dialogue, but I just want to say I think that way of thinking, that way of doing ministry, and that focus is really off center, and we need to get back on center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Jeff has some. You have a scripture that talks about this, John 4.
Mm-hmm.
One John 4, right?
Yeah. And it goes into two levels.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with testing the spirits to see if they are from God.
Mm-hmm.
Just that sentence alone says that human beings can be fall prey to deception.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to carefully consider, like, the issue of hating what God hates. It's humanly impossible not to, if we take a position of hate, not to be tainted and separated from God, because God's nature is the opposite of hate. And if we espouse hate and we let that be the center of how we preach, then we are actually at risk of being sent to hell. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not a nice statement I just made, but it's the fact and it's the truth. We're talking about knowing the spirit of error from the spirit of truth. And hate leads you to the gate. I won't say it will throw you in there, because you have your lifetime to repent of it.
Like Bob Marley did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some people miss the boat throughout their lives, but get in the boat at the end of their life. As the example that Dr. Shirley shared with Bob Marley. You know, we don't have to wait. We can do it now. We can repent and repent and repent until all these unrighteous strongholds are broken off of us. But we have to... There's another lie that we overly focus on the resurrection. But in order to be transformed, we got to nail the sin. Once we receive a revelation of sin or wrongdoing and we repent, we need to keep nailing it to the cross till it's utterly removed from our life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the cross is the only thing that can destroy the sin. And then, after you have the death, there's a resurrection to grace and mercy. It's progressive. It's not a one-time thing deal. Some people think it's one time. Your salvation is not just the day you let Jesus in.
You have a whole life.
Every day since then.
Yeah, and you have a whole life. That's why the Lord gives you the gift of life in this century, in this day and age, in salvation history.
So you can work your salvation out with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
And working it out takes time. It's progressive. It's not... I mean, yeah, God can clean up a lot in the initial conversion experience, but then he wants to go deeper. Then he wants to hold you closer. But you know what? In order to hold you closer, he's got to wipe away the sin. It's in his love that through the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. he is willing to point out the areas of our heart that need correction.
And it's his progression like a marriage. That's the progression that we're talking about. You know, when people get married and everything, you know, it's just not that one day called the wedding. It marks the beginning of a lifelong intimate relationship with your spouse. Well, that's mm-hmm. how it is when we receive Jesus. We engage in this marriage. We become espoused to him through the Holy Spirit. We become wedded on this side of glory, because he prepares us, you know, to enter into the fullness of the marriage, okay, in the next age, in the age to come. So we're constantly evolving as spiritual beings in our relationship with Jesus, and it's just the natural thing that happens when you are wedded to the Lord, okay, and it's even more beautiful when two people get married in the Lord, that they are wedded to the Lord at the same time. Okay, Jeff, what's that scripture, John, from 1 John 4?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the first part is about testing the spirits,
mm-hmm.
because we are subject to deception. Even the best of us, the most healed of us, because we're in this world and the world has not been totally purified of the enemy, we are still subject to being misled. Mm-hmm. And this is what St. John, the Beloved, says to his community. Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for you for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world accordingly, and their teaching belongs to the world, and the world listens to them. We belong to God, and anyone who knows God listens to us, while anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of deceit, or another way of saying deceit is error. Now, after that short confrontation with deception, now John's going into talking about living a life of Christian love. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, but God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him, and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testified that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he remains in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. And this is the love, is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. We love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. Whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love the God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Amen.
And the scripture clearly states, you know, if you're not loving God, then are you in the camp of the saved or the unconverted?
Or are you just ministering out of your wounds? You know, that's another thing that the Lord had revealed to me as we were reading the confirmation of what, you know, the winds of change were as discerned by the ministry of Doug Addison. And, you know, the Lord began to, he began further to minister to me about how many, in this former season, many people were ministering out of a place of woundedness while they were in the wilderness, okay? And instead of staying, you know, with the Lord and, you know, and asking him about, you know, what it is that he's showing them for, about themselves in the wilderness and working with the things that, especially with the tools that the Lord gave them to work these things out with him and as he works in a greater way for them to be able to trust him more and to begin to turn over and trust and learn and receive. What happens is that the woundedness and ministering out of that becomes premature, and it can really be ineffective for ministry and even lethal at times, because a lot of people can be lambasted by that and hurt, you know, and brought into that place where they themselves also would need ministry just because of being hurt, you know, by a wounded warrior leader that was ministering out of their wounds in the place of wilderness instead of a place on a mountaintop. Jeff, you're about ready to say something.
Well, building on that, the Lord just showed me that our woundedness is to become a pointer back to His grace and mercy. And like, my most recent example is that in 2009, I was diagnosed with leukemia. Now, for 9 months, I was kind of like melancholic, depressive for a little, because it's like, I don't know where that path was going to go. But before I even stepped onto the full knowledge of that path, the Lord came up and He gave me a hug. He gave me a full manifestational hug. I felt it from the back of my legs to the top of my shoulders, and I felt it across my chest. He gave me that grace. It was the deepest encouragement. And what happened in that moment, the eyes of my perception of spiritual things magnified, innumerably magnified. Wherever I turned my eyes, I could see expressions of God. And that sick, even before it was determined what the sickness was, God was setting it up to become a treasure, because He already knew what was going to happen. And because of today's medical technology and pharmaceutical business, I was healed. And I was only healed because God allowed mankind the pharmaceutical knowledge of the human body and of this specific thing that went wrong in my body that caused this disease called leukemia. Now, I had my last visit to my doctor, and this is what he said. This is how he said it. You know, you no longer have leukemia as long as you keep taking the medication that has stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave me that grace of being diagnosed at a specific point in history where there was a medication that could heal it. All the glory goes back to God. So now when I talk about this, I talk with conviction. I can talk to people, other cancer patients, regardless of what their disease is,
mm-hmm.
type of cancer, and I can pray for them more. I notice more people around me who may have cancer or some kind of disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more compassionate towards them. Our wounds can be converted to fruit.
Amen. You know, and with that, you know, we have to understand the how we speak to ourselves, or what kind of voice is actually dictating our thoughts and our minds, because it's the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart that the Lord is going after. And if we don't have good words that produce good fruit, then we're going to have a mess before us. And the Lord wants us to be more accountable in the area of the words of our mouth, because our words contain light and life, but they also can contain darkness because of the tongue. It says in James 3 that the words of our mouth can pave the way to eternal life, or can also pave the way to hell. And it's in the same mouth that we can speak blessings or curses, and we have to constantly ask ourselves, you know, do we want to be a light that shines in the darkness, or do we want to be, or do we want to live in the world of darkness by our dark words, you know, our dark speech?
And I want to build on that. Mm. I'm remembering something someone said about that, where the person was starting to receive prophecy, and a minister called it a work of the devil. And this person said, if God doesn't want to talk to me, I'll go see if he's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a warlock, and he got high up. And, but nobody correctly led him deeper into the things of God. He just called it something of God unholy,
mm-hmm.
and the reaction was that he went into the kingdom instead of developing his faith relationship with Jesus.
He went into the empire of darkness, not the kingdom.
The power of the word.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my point on bringing that up. And it's like every word has a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Your private mumbling in the silence of your heart and mind have the consequence.
And nobody can tame the power of the tongue, but the Holy Ghost can, you know, and your relationship with Jesus through the Holy Ghost. And always, you know, asking Him to help, you know, asking wisdom for Him to help you understand the impact that your speech has on your daily, the daily circumstances that surround you. So the question that we must always constantly ask ourselves, in this new change, in you know, to be more aware of, is, you know, we have to continually ask ourselves, are we choosing to live out of the dictates of our soul? Which is, you know, always going towards and choosing flesh, fleshly way of looking at things, fleshly decision making that's far away from the spirit. So are we going to constantly live out of our soul or out of our spirit? Okay, and that's something we have to ask all the time. And we also need to also look, understand that the wealth that this world teaches is not the wealth that the Lord wants us to live out. It's very inferior to the wealth of the things of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know more about that, you go to Galatians, and the Galatians talks more about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and you can also get the gifts of the Holy Spirit from Corinthians 12, I think it is. So the thing is, we have to look at the, you know, at, we always constantly have to examine our hearts, because if we don't, then we're doomed, and so isn't everybody else around us, because we've infected, you know, like I call it, our words can be like pathogens, and it can bring destruction and illness to many people if we don't monitor and trust in the Lord that He's going to give us the right things to say. And we have to fill our hearts and our minds with words of life, you know, through the scriptures, and we have to cast down vain imagination that keep coming to us that do not glorify God. So, but they glorify self, and they cause division, hatred, discord among the brethren. Those are the things we need to watch out for. Not to be overly paranoid, but to, you know, to really cling on to and cling on to the Lord for the help that we would need through His Holy Spirit to bring us into a greater place. You know, it says, Bob Marley's songs talk about, you know, like in the first one, actually, let me just go back a couple of cards. I took notes as I was listening to this. In Exodus, you know, in the first song by Bob Marley, he spoke about Exodus as being a movement of the people, you know, from a place of darkness to a place of light, from Babylon to the promised land. And he sings about that in his song. And in there, he's asking the people to open your eyes and look within and ask yourself, are you satisfied with the life that you're living? Okay, and it goes on, we know where we're going and we know where we're from. There are many people that don't even know where they came from. And so how can they know where they're going if they don't know where they came from? You can't do that by yourself outside of the relationship with the Lord. When you come to that place of relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, your eyes open up and you realize where you came from, your whole path, your whole course of life is charted forward and onward to a place where you're going. And it's wonderful if you're in a group of people that have that same focus, that same goal, okay? That same fellowship. One Life talks about, you know, giving thanks and praise to the Lord and we'll be all right. You know, when you don't do that, when you don't come from that place of a grateful heart, things can be skewed. You know, you start living in drudgery and oppression, and especially when you don't make an all-out effort to proclaim and declare the greatness of the Lord. Okay, that's why praising and worshiping the Lord is so essential. It brings us to that place. It's a vehicle that brings us to that place, to our destination of where we're going. Okay, the redemption song talked about emancipating yourselves from mental slavery. Nobody but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear of atomic energy. Nothing else can stop the time. And I really believe that this is overly concerned with on time and being on time, and especially when it comes to man. You know, God created time. Time is a creation. He stepped into time to tweak man so that we can follow him. And I'm kind of giving you the computer, you know, the technology description of it. But that's the age in which we live. And the thing being is that he created time so he could step into time to walk with man, okay? And the thing is, what we need to do, you know, what happens sometimes, man fears time because man has a built-in mechanism that knows that time on this side of glory is limited. It's because it's time is measuring man's existence. And, you know, when we have a purpose that we need to live in a certain amount of time, we have to do it, and that time clock starts ticking. But what happens is that many people become afraid of that, and it paralyzes them, and they can't move. They move more in their fear than faith, okay? So when the Lord comes into time, steps into time from heaven, from the throne, sometimes it sets us back because we're living on another plane, another existence. And if we can just move beyond that and meet the Lord in time and take him by the hand, he will bring us further in our journey and bring us into these experiences that allow us to build up our trust and faith in him so that we can finally get to that place that he wants us to get to, okay, and bring a whole lot of people with us. And so, you know, there are lots of fears that these storms, you know, some call it the perfect storm, it's going to eventually lead to destruction if man doesn't repent. But you have to understand, if, you know, God is raising up an army in this hour, thank God for that. And I know because of that alone that there is not going to be total destruction. And we don't have to fear an atomic energy. We should fear more in the destruction of our words than the destruction of nuclear bomb. We, by the power of our words, we can diffuse what those atomic warheads can ever do to mankind, because our light, the light of words spoken in the love of the Lord and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have much more light than the atomic energy that can destroy existence and time. So I just want to let you know that we carry the light of Christ in us. We carry the fullness of the kingdom from within us, but we have to tap into it. We're much more dangerous than we think to the world of darkness. Jeff, I want you to read. Jeff, we're moving, and we're moving to a better place, in a better situation, and we were packing this prophecy from July 15th, 1985. 27 years ago, came into Jeff's midst, and it was something that the Lord had given him, and I want him to read that.
Listen and hear my voice. Let go of the judgment that lays deep within your heart. For in my love there is no room for judgment. Even as I dwelled among you, I cursed no one. All I came in touch with, I transformed them by my compassionate love. I spoke to their needs. Now I speak aloud with a clear voice. Come follow me. I am forming in your midst a people deeply committed to me and to one another. Do you truly realize how deeply jointed you are to one another. You are as deeply jointed to one another as I am to you. Follow me. Walk the life I walked. A life of prayer. A life of giving out to all the bread of my life and my love. I have left behind my own example and that of my brothers and sisters who sold out to me. They held their ground in me until death. Can you follow me completely as possible for you in your human estate? I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is in my grace that you can do all things. You can overcome the world in me and through me, for I reside in you. Peace be to you, my faithful people.
Amen. You know, and as he was reading this, I picked up some notes that I had kind of sketched out. It's regarding some dreams and visions I had had that, you know, are coinciding with what the Lord gave you 27 years ago, and also what the Lord gave Doug Addison.
So it's actually a consistent word that God planted in time 27 years ago, so that it would also affirm the more recent word that God gave a few weeks ago to people.
Exactly. So, this is more on freeing ourselves from mental slavery. I had a dream about, it has to do with deception and illusion. I had a dream about, I don't know, about 3 months ago, and in the dream, I saw this person out in the streets. He was not bad looking, and he was just going from one person to another, enticing people with the latest of whatever is happening in the world, and you know, that they must come to, you know, this gathering that he's having. And I'm thinking, is this a Christian gathering? And something told me it wasn't, and that you know, follow me, your life is going to be much better, you're going to see greater things, and all this stuff. Okay, somehow he won their hearts. He won approval. And it was all about, you know, getting favor of man. It had nothing to do with favor of God. And so, you know, I kept telling these people, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. But they went anyways. They went and, you know, they sat at what looked like it was a coffee house. And all of a sudden, they started playing this music that was very destructive, and this person, you know, went from nice looking to ugly. He had chains on. Things were like, you know, coming upon him that, you know, was like gooey gunk and junk, and you know, and he had the garb of you know, what it looks like what people wear, you know, wearing in the goth, like from the goth generation. And plus chains and bondage. And the identity was, you can have anything you want, you know, just think about it and you have it, it's yours. And that is true to some extent, but they were more attracting darkness than anything else. One of the issues was, you know, you can, if you want to be a boy, a guy, you don't have to change, and you, and if, you know, you become a guy, or if you want to be a woman. And when people went into this change and, you know, transformed their ways of being with manipulation, they got, it was like they totally messed their lives up, and they were in a worse situation than before. And so the Lord is saying that not everything in this life, especially in the world, that says you can have it all and make your own decisions and your life is your own and not anyone else's. You are the director of your life. If you make certain choices that, you know, affect your internal nature, that you can have catastrophic you know, things going on with you. And, you know, lots of times the spirit of suicide would come in on that. And then you, next thing you know, they, people end their life because they're so out of control, when the enemy wanted them to think they were in control. So that is the illusion delusion that the Lord's dealing with right now in this winds of change. He is taken up with destructive forces and winds of the deceptive spirit regarding that voice that says you can have it all. You're the master of and finisher of your life. And that is totally ludicrous thinking, and that is going to lead you in a greater hell towards the path of hell than in a short period of time, but in a very destructive way. So the Lord's dealing with that destructive wind. Okay, and many Christians are going through this right now. The other thing is, the Lord began to show me the accuser of the brethren, and I really didn't want to see that. I was just minding my own business. I went into a vision trance on the way to sleep, and all of a sudden, the Lord presented before me this pencil sketch of the enemy. It looked hideous. He wasn't as threatening as I thought, and at the same time, the Lord said, "Speak to the enemy." If the words that I put in your spirit. And I began to see how, as I was looking at this, how he tried to deceive my family in various ways. I'm talking about my children, now they're adults, with various concerns that were maybe not of him, and false illusion, this illusions of grandeur, and the other things to hurt that. That were preparing them to, that were trying to get them away from the things of God, that were distracting them, and different things like that, and also he showed me, how that, in my life, that, how he tried to do that, and the thing is, the Lord still had his way, and so I had to tell the enemy and give him notice that, all those things, all those plans, all those plots that you tried to throw my way and accuse me before the Lord, I said, it only worked, all right, to bring me closer to the Lord. And so you have no more power, control, or authority over my life or the life of any member of my family. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed now. You may go. You may flee. And as I was saying this, I saw the enemy buckled, like he cowered. He was hanging his head low, and he knew that his time was up. All right, and that's when I woke up, and I felt like there was a complete victory beginning to happen in my family. And this is right around the time that Doug Addison had prophesied this for May and June, the May June window. So I just have to thank the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for what he's doing in your lives as well, because lots of these things are just not for me, but they're for you, they're for your family, they're for your ministries, and it's just really awesome how we have that power and authority in the name of Jesus, because we walk with him in an intimate way, and you can also have that too. Just ask for a greater intimacy and a plan and vision for your life and the life of your family and ministry. The other one was God's timing, I don't know which came first, that or God's timing. I think right around the same time period. The Lord has uses the natural things of our life to minister to us about the spiritual things, the things of the kingdom. And what could slow us down, and what could, what we can improve in, okay? And my thing was time. I have this job where I'm driving a bus, and that's my secular job. And I drive. I'm getting trained for healthcare, but for the job that I get paid for to pay my bills, and also to learn some of the things of the kingdom is a bus job. And I have to, I have to be committed to certain blocks of time to be on time, and that's great. God works with that, and he uses that. And then there are other times, like for family events and situations. I'm not so great with the time element because of what I have to deal with before and after, and a lot of it is good excuses, a lot of it's bad excuses. But nevertheless, the Lord says, "I want to deal with you now and how you use your time." But then again, there's a part of me that felt, like totally like devastated because I'm like, oh my God, I let some, because the Lord showed me how I let people down, how it lets people down when I'm not on time, and it really can put a damper on things at the beginning, but then people understand. But at the same time, I'm left with, you know, wow, I really made people feel like that. So, you know, of course, I have to repent. And I want to, now I'm living the second half of my life, and I wrote this on my wall. And I'm sharing this with you because I know there are other people that are going through this as well. That's the only reason why I share these things with you. It's not for myself, it's for others. So I'm exposing myself, you know, as the Lord exposes me. So the other side of it is that I dwell on these things too long, right? Hello? And it swims in my head for like a long time, and then, you know, then I lose my focus and distraction of what I need to focus in on in the moment. So the Lord is also dealing with me on that level as well. And I know there's others that go through the same thing that I do. I think it's mostly women. So anyways, so one day I was taking my husband to his appointment. We were trying to leave an hour before, you know, 2 hours before the appointment so we can be early for being on time. And I'm driving into Boston, and there's traffic, and, you know, we had to do this thing and that thing before we left in order to make, you know, to do the third thing, and and it always eats up time. So I'm driving, I'm like, Lord, am I ever going to get out of this? Is this you delaying me? Are you preventing an accident from happening? Because sometimes that happens, you know, in his divine delays. So as I'm thinking about this, I mean, I'm over myself, I'm getting depressed, and, you know, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. I was in that mindset, and that's where my heart was. All of a sudden, the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I just need a sign, and I know we're not supposed to ask for signs, but I need a sign to know that in this moment of time, I am on time with you. And all of a sudden, this car that the Lord put, did you hear it, the way I said the car, Bostonians, this car was put right in front of me out of all the cars in this Boston traffic, all right, at that time, with the license plate number that said Joy, J-O-Y, counted all joy, Shirley. And I said to my husband, did you see that? I said, this is what God does. I said, I love what he does. Does this. And this is in response to my questions about time. All right? So I just have to thank God for how he breaks into time like that. And I think that this is what we should shoot for, folks. I think we should go for, you know, asking God for more of these divine timings of things. Another confirmation of that particular thing was, all right, I get this new route that I'm, you know, now driving in the summertime. And this happened a couple of days ago. Same issue. Traffic, time. We set it out right on time, and all of a sudden traffic's delaying. And, you know, and because of the delay, it was going to make me late for the other thing that I had to do after I dropped this off, this student. Okay? So I'm doing the whole time thing again, praying the Lord, why am I always the one that's tested with time? What's going on with this? What are you doing in this? I think these are the questions we have to ask the Lord every time, you know. The things that we think are normal don't happen, okay? And we have no control over. So I'm like, I did the sign thing again. I'm like, Lord, I need a sign. Come on, show me, you know. Do the Red Sea thing, park the cars, do what we need to do to get the students to school on time. And next thing you know, this license plate, this car with the license plate in front of me, in front of my vehicle, has a license plate number with the word Edify. I said, Jeff, I said, well, he's talking to me through traffic again, Edify. He wants me to edify everything, edify him and all, edify others. Just, it's all about edification in this season. It's all about joy, his joy and edification. And if this is what I have to learn from this, nothing else matters, you know. But we always have to encounter the Lord in time. That's what will make the difference. That's the difference that will make the difference. And so I just want to just you know, lift up everyone out there who's struggling with time, who's struggling with understanding the signs of the times and the change in seasons and the change in wind. And we ask, Lord, that you would increase their trust and faith and hope in you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this time of spiritual communion with you, where you are indeed invited into our time through the Holy Spirit. And the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and understanding of the Holy Spirit, and the love for God and unity for the kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that in the coming days, that the body of Christ will enter into that place of unity where the kingdom is going to come in power and in glory, in time and eternity. And Jeff, is there any last things that you have to say that the Lord has inspired you to say before we close? He's going to the Bible. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Ephesians 6, starting at 10. Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from His mighty power. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with powers and with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to hold your ground, so stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet covered in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in your hand. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones, and also for me, that speech may be given to open my mouth and to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that I may have the courage to speak as I must. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you for tuning in to Faith Talks Live Prayer on God. Blog Talk Radio.
God bless.
God bless you. We love you.